This is Brother Billy. I'll say good morning to each one of you and pray God's word. It'll be a blessing to you today. You got your Bible. Look with us over to the 16th chapter of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 16 is where we're going to begin reading. As Casting Crowns sings that song that says, I know you there. You know, we have to know that God's in the midst, that God is in our presence, that we are in His place where He's put us, that we belong to Him, that we are His. You said, preacher, I don't know the Lord, and I'm not sure the Lord knows me. Oh, He knows you. He made you. He created you, and He made you in His own image. Isn't that a blessing? That God would make us in His very likeness. And so we see it in the life of Adam, how that God made him in His likeness. God made him the way He wanted him. God put him in the garden. And the song says, I know you there, God. And you know, Adam, we find it that Adam knew that God was there. So we get the music turned down. We see it where they took of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that God told them not to partake of. And as they partook of that tree, their eyes were open and they saw their nakedness. And God came calling again in the cool of the day. And Adam hid himself from the Lord. And it's much where men are today. What do? We hide our sin. We try to. We hide our uncleanness. We hide the iniquity of our heart. Even the child, the smallest child. Sometimes people think, well, that's not exactly the way it works. But you take the smallest child, sir. That little fella, he might not be a year and a half old, but walk in the room on him and he'll hide it behind his back. He'll swear to you he don't have it. He'll look you dead in the eye and say, I don't know what you're talking about. But we are just like that little child. We don't have to be taught to sin. We were born into sin. So people say, well, how did I learn to lie? Well, you was born with that. And God called Adam and said, and as he came looking for him, in the cool of the day, he said, where art thou, Adam? And he said, I was naked, and I hid myself. And God said, what have you done? And he said, Lord, it was that woman you gave me. That woman you gave me caused me to commit sin. And so it sounds like mankind today. Look over to the 16th chapter of the book of Genesis. We're going to begin reading a little bit here. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah, same thing, said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid, and it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarah said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee, I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarah, behold, thy maid is in thine hand, do to her as it pleaseth thee. And Sarah dealt hardly with her, and she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by the water, by the fountain of the way to Shur. Oh, I did read it correctly. The angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain and the way to Shur. And he said to Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? Let's go to God in prayer. Father, take the reading of your word today and speak it to hearts. God, I pray you'd open our understanding. I pray you'd give us wisdom. God, I pray if there's a sinner, Lord, you'd save them. Deal with them, God. Lord, even as you know how to work in the life and in the heart of an unsaved person. God, from the smallest child to the oldest grandma or grandpa, you're able to do the saving work. I pray the quickening power of the Holy Ghost would work in our life today and feed us from your word. Encourage the saints. Encourage the believers. God, fill us full of thy word and thy truth, and we'll give you praise for it. In Jesus' name we do ask it. Amen and amen. Genesis chapter 16 is where we're reading here. What you'll find is that God has chosen a man that he's going to use. His name's Abraham. But Abraham's wife cannot bring forth. She's not brought forth as of yet. And so here, this is what happens when men and women take things into their own hands. God's not called us to take it into our own hands in the way of his perfect will. When God told Abraham, that his seed would be as the stars. And back in chapter 13, he said, your seed will be as the dust of the ground. When God said that, that's exactly what he meant. And so we find it here that they left the plan of God too soon. God's plan was to use Sarah, but they thought God's plan's not to use Sarah, his wife, so he took another wife by the name of Hagar. And so when that didn't work out too good, we find it later that those boys, Sarah did have a son by the name of Isaac, Hagar did have a son by the name of Ishmael, and they were two nations right there. And so this is where we get the Islamic seed of Ishmael. This is where contention comes. This is where enmity comes between the children of Israel and all other Islamic Arabic countries. And so we see it here. As a matter of fact, we'll find it over in Galatians 4:29. God used this parallel and he made a point that adversity comes when 9/11 come. Let me share this with you. Back when 9/11 happened, I remember the message God gave me for the church where I pastored, and the name of the message was "The Wild Man Lives." Now God said something about Ishmael. Watch what he said in chapter 16, verse 11. He called him by name. In verse 12, God said, "He shall be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. He shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren." That's why he dwells all around. Israel is surrounded by the seed of Ishmael. And so he is the wild man God said he would be. He is the thorn in the side of the children of Israel. And so because Abram and Sarah jumped the gun on God's perfect plan, here's Ishmael, who's going to be a torment and a persecutor of the children of Israel all the days of his life. And so that's what happened. This is why Galatians 4:29 said, "As he that was born after the flesh," that's Ishmael, "persecuted him that was born after the spirit," that's Isaac. He said, "Even so it is now." And so what we find is, this is exactly why we have the tension in the world today. It's because of what happened right here in Genesis 16. And so God called it, God declared it, and it's what happened. Now, if you go on further, you're going to find that God gave Abram a seed from Sarah, and he opened her womb, which was as good as dead, and Sarah at the age of 90, and Abram at the age of 100, they had a child together, and Isaac was his name. And so we see it. We don't want to give up on God's plan. We don't want to give up on God's promise and God's word. And so it's important that we get this, church. It's important that we understand God always knows what's best. What he says will come to pass. And when we have his promise, we can stand upon that. Now fast forward a little bit, and we're going to see something in Genesis 22. And so we find it in chapter 21 that Isaac's born. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abram made a great feast. And this is where we find that as they have this little birthday party, if you will, is what we would liken to a birthday party. As they have that for Isaac, he's just a young lad, just weaned of his mama. When they have this party, he's got a brother that's 14 years older than he is. That's right, Abram was 86 when Ishmael was born. He was 100 when Isaac was born. And so here Ishmael is a teenage boy. Now, we know how teenage boys can be. I've been a teenager. I've raised teenagers. And I got more teenagers. And so we find it that teenagers sometimes can be cruel. But here, Ishmael is making fun of. He's mocking. The word said in verse 9, he's mocking Isaac there, and the enmity is already started. What did God say? That his hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. It's God's word coming to pass right here. And Sarah said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even Isaac. And so it goes to show you, brother, the thing is exactly what God said. And Sarah, who thought it was a pretty good idea, you know, this is why we cannot live in the realm of good ideas. And so what happens? People say, well, preacher, I've got a pretty good idea. Well, Sarah thought she had one too, but it turned out it wasn't as good as she thought. And so Hagar did have a son, but that son became a thorn in the flesh of Sarah and her son, to the point that she said, I know you took her to wife. I understand that it was my idea that you go in unto this handmaid and sire us a baby, and we'll call her a surrogate mother, but that's really not what she was. And she said, I know it was my idea, but that was a bad idea, and I want you to cast out this bondwoman and her rebellious boy Ishmael. I want you to get him out of here. And so here we find it, that the thing was grievous. We're reading in chapter 21, verse 11. It was grievous in Abram's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous, and hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. You know what God's saying? God's saying, Abraham, I know that's your son, but that's not where the promise lays. The promise does not rest in Ishmael. The promise of God rests in Isaac. You said, preacher, that made God prejudice. You call it what you want to. God said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That's exactly what God meant. Yes, God chose Isaac. And so what happened? God chooses people today. He chooses those that will submit to him. He knows our end from the beginning. God knows who will comply to the will of God. God puts his will in our heart, and God knows the rebel. And Paul said, talking about this, the doctrine of election, over the ninth chapter of the book of Romans, he deals with this. And so what we find is that, yes, God puts his hand upon people and he uses them. Now, the call of God is to every man. But that doesn't change the fact that God knows who will obey him and who will not obey him. And so he said, listen and hearken unto her voice. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. And so this son of the bondwoman, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make him a nation because he is thy seed. God didn't forget Ishmael, but Ishmael was not God's chosen. It's much like Esau and Jacob. We see the same setting. And so here these boys are twins in the womb of their mama Rebekah. But God chose Jacob. You know why he chose him? Because he knew Jacob had a heart that would follow after God. God knows our end from the beginning. And so he knew that Esau was a rebel and a God hater. Hebrews chapter 12 said he was a profane person. And so what happened? He was a fornicator. And God said this about Esau, who for one morsel of meat, what did he do? He sold his birthright. He sold the precious things. And God knows who will follow him and who won't follow him. And he chose Isaac. He chose Jacob. And God is still choosing men and women today that will hear his voice. That's what he's looking for. And he said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now fast forward a little bit over to the 22nd chapter. The 22nd chapter. And so it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. And he said unto him, he called him by name, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, watch this, thine only son Isaac. You said, Preacher, he's got two boys. That's right. He's got two boys. But God considered Isaac the only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering. That's right, Abraham's out there busting wood. And so he's splitting wood for the burnt offering. And so who's he going to offer? God said, offer your son. That very son that I gave you. That very son that I promised you. See, we don't understand all things. I promise you that Abraham and Sarah didn't understand exactly what God's doing. Maybe Abraham got up, said, Sarah, you need to cook breakfast. We're going up into the hills. And God told me to offer Isaac as a sacrifice unto him. And Sarah's probably sitting at the kitchen table, and she said, Well, what are you going to do? He said, Well, I'm going to do what God said. That's what I'm going to do. And so he's out there busting wood, and she's packing him a lunch. And so the word said, take him up into the land. And so here they go. And on the third day, you don't think there were some nervous moments in Sarah's heart? The third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place afar off, and said to the young man, Y'all stay here. Stay here. Where did God say? He said, Take him up on the mount. And so the word said, On the third day, he said, I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Now watch the faith of Abraham's heart. What did God say? God said, offer him a sacrifice to me. But Abram said, me and the boy's going to go up and worship. And we're going to come again to you. And Abram took the wood, and he took the wood for the offering, and he laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and went both of them together. Now imagine this lad of a boy is walking with his daddy up the hill, and so he's toting the wood, and they got the knife, and they got the fire, and so there's just one thing they're missing. And so Isaac is looking for the sacrifice. And he said, God, he said, Daddy, he said, where is the sacrifice? We're going to read it in just a moment. And so he took the wood. And verse number 7, Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb? Where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb. He will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son. That's right. And so he's bound him up with ropes. And so he's bound him, and the word said, and laid him. I'm going to tell you, brother, you don't think it got down to brass tacks right here? Bless God, he has wrapped him up in the rope. He has bound him. He's laid him upon the wood. And the word said on the altar, and Abram stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. I'm going to show you something right here. You said, Preacher, that's crazy. Who would take their own boy because they thought God said so? Abraham, that's who. Abraham, because he walked with God. Abraham, because he met the Lord. He heard from the Lord. He believed God. And the word said it was counted unto him for righteousness. And so Abram understood that Isaac, and I'm going to show you something right here. This is a good place for you and I to learn how to lean on God's word, upon God's promises. If God's promised something, it will come to pass. There's no maybe so, hope so, think so. It will come to pass because because God said, and Abram had a promise. God had promised him back there where we read it. Who did he say? He didn't say, in Ishmael shall thy seed be called. God said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Back in chapter 13, God said, look at the dust of the earth. He said, that's the way your seed shall be. And brother, he's telling this to a man who has no child. Back in chapter 13, God said it's going to be as the dust of the earth. Over in chapter 15, I'm reading in the third verse, Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in mine house is mine heir. And so look out down into verse 5, and God brought him forth. The word of the Lord came, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now, Abram, toward heaven, and tell the stars, if ye be able to number them. And he said, so shall thy seed be. I'm going to tell you why Abram could take that little boy and put him on the wood and bound him up and ready to kill him and to set fire to him and burn him as a sacrifice unto God. You know why? Because he believed God. I'm reading it right here in chapter 15, verse 6. He believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. God counted it to Abraham for righteousness. What did he count? He counted the fact that he believed God and he believed him to obey him. And the word said, he said, where is the lamb? And Abraham, by faith, said, God will provide himself a lamb. You know why he could say it? Because he believed God. And he knew that God said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And if God killed Isaac, he's going to have to raise Isaac. You know why? Because he's already promised. See, we've got to learn to stand on the promises of God's word. If God promised something's going to come to pass, it will come to pass. If he's promised he's going to keep you, if he's promised you he's going to protect you, if he's promised, God's promised you the great salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not a hope so, think so, maybe so religion. It's the promise of God. If Jesus said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, John 14, that's the promise of God. I can stand upon that. I can believe that. And Abraham understood that if God killed Isaac, thank God he was going to raise Isaac, because he's already promised, in Isaac, not Ishmael, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. He believed God, and the word said it was counted to him. You know what that means? It means it was put on his account for righteousness. He believed God. And so watch now. They came to the place, and the word said, Abram stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. That's right. I'm reading in chapter 22, verse number 10. And the angel of the Lord called to him out of heaven. Brother, you don't think God would dispatch an angel? God would dispatch an angel so quick to you. He dispatched one for Peter. He dispatched one for Paul. Paul said in Acts 27, he said, the angel of God, of whose I am and whom I serve, has appeared to me and told me there's not going to be any loss of life on the ship. And so we see it. It's the angel of God that's slapping Peter and saying, wake up, son, it's time to get out of this jail. It's the angel of God that took the gates off the bars and took the bars off the prison and opened all the cell doors and sent him out of there safely. But I'm going to tell you, it was the God of heaven that shook that Philippian jail in Acts 16. And so we see it. God dispatched. Watch now, the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven. God's got angels encamped all around us. Psalm 34:8 said, the angel of the Lord encampeth round of them, round about them that fear him and delivereth them. You know what God's doing right here? He's delivering Isaac from Abraham's knife. He understands that Abraham's willing. See, you don't have to do everything. Bless God, you just got to be willing. willing to do it. You got to be willing. God put his hand on Abram's life. He tested his faith, and he understood that Abram drew back that knife, brother, and he is about to take Isaac, his son, whom God's promised him and gave him at the ripe old age of 100. He's going to take his life because God said so. And so the angel of God stopped him, and Abram said, "Here am I." And he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad." Watch this. "Neither do anything to him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And so what did God do? He spared Isaac. And so here we find it, that Abram called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." That Mount Moriah is the same mount where Jesus was the Lamb of God, who gave his life, his sinless, perfect, spotless life for the sin of the world. What did Isaac say? He said, "Father, where is the lamb?" He said, "I've got the wood. I'm bearing the wood. I know the fire. I see the fire, Father. But where's the lamb?" I want to tell you, that question's been asked a lot of times. Where is the lamb? I tell you where the lamb was in Genesis chapter 3. When Adam and Eve had sinned, God took coats of skin. I'm going to tell you, sir, God took the bloodshed of those innocent rams, lambs, goats, whatever it was God chose to use, and God clothed them. That was a sacrifice for the sin. Blood had to be shed for the sin of Adam and Eve in the garden. And God took coats of skin, Genesis 3:21, and he clothed them. If you go over to Exodus chapter 12, you're going to see where God commanded them on the Passover night. You know what they were to do? They were to take the lamb of a sheep or a goat. They were to take that spotless lamb, that kid, and they were to take it, and they were to kill it, and they were to take the blood and apply that blood upon the doorpost and upon the lintel of the door. You know why? Because God's death angel was going to pass through all of Egypt, and God's death angel was going to take the firstborn of every home, every family, even of the beast of burden. And so what happened? God sent the Passover. He sent the death angel, and that lamb, where's the lamb, Father? I tell you where the lamb was. The lamb was killed that Passover night, and his blood was applied. There has to be blood applied to your heart, sir. There has to be the blood of Christ applied to you. Where's the lamb? Where is he? Revelation 14, we see him, that he is the lion, the Lamb out of Zion that comes back with the 144,000. We see him in Revelation 6:1. He is the Lamb, bless God, that is opening the seven seals. And so we see him again. He's Christ the Lamb. John saw him in John 1:29. And he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And so God's provided himself. And then what Abraham said, he said, God will provide himself a lamb. And that's exactly what he done. But here's where we've got to get. We've got to understand that we have to have that shed blood of the lamb applied to our heart. If you're unsaved today, you need to realize, you've got to get a hold of this, that God wants the blood applied to your heart. God wants you to understand, you have to be saved, sir. You've got to be saved. It's expedient that you're saved by the by the great grace of God, that lamb not only has to be provided, but the blood has to be applied to your heart. Now, God's provided himself. Isn't that what Abram said? He said God will provide himself a lamb, and he's done that. But that shed blood's got to be applied unto your heart. Why so? Because that's where salvation is. Every family that did not apply the blood to the doorpost and the lintel of the door in Exodus chapter 12, that family woke up with a dead child in that home. Pharaoh woke up. That's right, the king of Egypt woke up with a dead child in his home. Every family in Egypt cried out because they woke up to death. And when there's no shedding of blood, there's no, Hebrews 9:22 said, there's no remission of sin. And so there has to be the blood applied. And the only way to have the blood applied is that we come to Christ. It's not the blood of bulls and goats anymore, sir. God's provided himself a lamb in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only thing he accepts is the precious blood of a precious, spotless, sinless Savior. And as Abram said, God will provide himself a lamb. Father, take your word today. If there's a sinner, Lord, I pray you'll save them. God, I pray for the one that's outside of your will right now. I ask you, Lord, to minister to them. God, I pray the Holy Ghost, Lord, would apprehend a heart. God, we know you there. The song says, I know you there. And Father, we know that you're real. And God, we know you're able to work. And I pray you'd move. And I pray your presence, Lord, would speak to hearts today. I pray, God, you would deal with people, Lord, outside of saving grace. God, draw one unto yourself. Father, save them, Lord, even as you saved others. God, I remember the night you saved me, the sweetness of the Spirit of God that called me unto Christ. Father, would you do that today in the heart and life of one that's outside of your will? Do it now, Father. We'll praise you. We'll bless you. We'll thank you for it all. In Jesus' precious name we pray it. Now that we meet again, Brother Billy saying, may God richly bless you is our prayer.